proceed to the fifth case, the United States versus Lewis. Mr. Gobranson.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Lars Gobranson. I represent the defendant appellant Joseph Lewis in this case. This case concerns a bank robbery. On January 23, 2007, three men robbed the Tower Bank in Fort Wayne, Indiana. The government charged Lewis as one of them. Lewis was charged with armed bank robbery or aiding and abetting the robbery and carrying a firearm in connection with the robbery. On September 6, 2007, a jury found Lewis guilty on the bank robbery charge, but not guilty on the firearm charge. By this appeal, Lewis appeals his conviction on the robbery charge and asks this court to remand his case for a new trial. Our appeal presents two issues. The first issue is whether it was reversible error to admit into evidence a DVD of the police interview of Lewis. And the DVD was admitted, and the jury was given complete access to the DVD. The DVD was error first under Federal Rule of Evidence 404B because it was rife with Lewis's statements about his prior conviction for a bank robbery.
Let me ask, this was a six-hour DVD?
Yeah.
Was it played, or what happened here?
We don't really know that. I mean, that's...
That's one of the problems.
Well, the court gave the DVD to the jury, told the jury could watch the DVD, and there was a discussion about that on the record, that there was a DVD player in the jury room.
But the only objection was that there was some mention of maybe I'm aiding and abetting or something like that. There wasn't any objection about his discussion about prior criminal activity or anything like that.
That's right. At the time of trial, and we're inferring that I think the objection at the time of trial by Lewis's trial counsel was that he objected to the DVD on the grounds that, you know, that he had previously objected. And then the court gave a limiting instruction about there was language on the DVD where Lewis said in frustration that he aided and abetted the robbers. He objected to that. We argued that it was improper to admit the DVD on that ground and the 404B ground. So I think at least on that ground, the objection was preserved, and that should be reviewed for abuse of discretion. On the 404B ground, there's a question about whether there was an agreement at the pretrial conference not to introduce any evidence of Lewis's past robbery conviction. We don't have the transcript from that pretrial conference. There is a record citation. There's an objection to jury instructions by Lewis's trial counsel in which he objects to, I think it's government's jury instruction number 11, because that instruction referenced a prior conviction. In that objection, references the agreement at the pretrial conference not to introduce evidence of Lewis's prior conviction. So there is a question about whether we review the 404B, the 404B issue that we raise now on the DVD for an abuse of discretion or for plain error. In the government's brief, the government stated that if there was an understanding, that it should be reviewed for abuse of discretion. I think the record does support finding that there was such an understanding. That the government's instruction number 11 was not admitted at trial. Even under the plain error standard, though, I think the admission of the DVD was problematic enough to warrant a new trial. The government's closing argument demonstrates the importance of the DVD to the government's case. The government repeatedly referred to the DVD. The government argued that the jury should not concern itself with the lack of physical evidence linking Lewis to the bank and should instead think of the entire story of the bank robbery put in context by his statement on the DVD. So the jury was specifically not instructed, but suggested by the government, it was suggested by the government to the jury that the jury should watch this DVD and that would show them how they should find in this case. Going back to the aiding and abetting statement, the government in closing argument specifically said to the jury that Lewis's statement on the DVD at least made him an aider and abetter. And I think that it's reasonable to think that if they queued up that DVD and saw the portion of the DVD where he said aiding and abetting in frustration and not having a legal education or fully understanding what that term meant, that that could have influenced and probably did influence the jury's decision.
Well, I'm befuddled by a lot of things in this case, but do we know that the jury watched the DVD?
I don't think we know that. I don't know how we can know that.
Yeah, well, that's another problem here.
It is a problem. I think the danger is that they did, and that was a significant part of how they came to their decision. There were gaps in the evidence here. There was no DNA evidence, no fingerprint evidence. There was really no physical evidence that put Lewis in the bank. And the closest thing to testimony that put him in the bank was a teller, Josephina Beck, who was a teller who was taken into the, was in the break room, I think it was the break room, and was subdued by the third bank robber. She testified that she had her eyes closed throughout the whole thing and but was able to make out the robber's height by his breath. So the evidence linking Lewis to the scene was shaky. And the government's theory was that three men robbed this bank. And another important gap in the evidence is that the government or the investigators, after the fact, only found two-thirds of the money. There was also a canvas bag that was mentioned that some of the tellers remember seeing one of the robbers have. That canvas bag was never found. Lewis maintained in his statement that he wasn't the third guy. There was another guy. And that he agrees he was at his cousin's house, and obviously he was. He was found there afterwards with two of the robbers, but he said, I didn't do this. Somebody else did it. And I think the lack of one-third of the robbery money corroborates that. That strongest evidence against Lewis is that he was at his cousin Kenyatta's house with two of the bank robbers, and nobody at trial disputed that the other two, Dewan and Dontrell, were the robbers, that he was found there, but his presence there was not enough to convict him because he was not charged with an accessory after the fact. He was not charged as an accessory after the fact. So the fact that he was just there was consistent with his story that he said, no, I don't want to do this. I don't want any part of it. He went to his cousin's house. These guys show up, but the third guy that did the robbery either didn't show up there or showed up there and took off. That leads us to the second issue, which is the Brady issue. There was the government failed to disclose Kenyatta's prior criminal history, and so that key evidence, the key evidence of Lewis not having permission to be in his cousin's house, Lewis was not able to impeach Kenyatta about that testimony, and I'll reserve what very little time I have left. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Lowry?
May it please the court, counsel. I was the trial counsel on this case, as well as now the appellate counsel. It's the position.
That's good, because you can tell us what happened with a six-hour DVD.
I will do my best. It is the position of the government that there was no reversible error.
But tell me what happened with the DVD.
The DVD was 6 hours long.
How long was the jury out?
I don't think they were out. I don't recall specifically, but I don't know that they were out six. I don't recall them being out 6 hours, because I don't recall being.
It was less than 6 hours that they were out.
That's my best recollection here.
So no portions of the DVD were shown to the jury during the trial itself. Is that correct?
No, sir. In lieu of taking up 6 hours of time with to play the entire DVD, I submitted it as evidence and gave, obviously, the jury the option, well, the court then gave the jury the option to view the DVD.
What happened in the courtroom? Did you have a television set and put a DVD in and play excerpts of it for the jury? Or when, after closing argument, was the six-hour DVD just sent into the jury room?
It was sent back with the jury, Your Honor.
And they could watch, if they wanted to, they could watch as much of it as they wanted to without knowing all the things that were on this DVD.
That is correct. That it was sent back in its totality. And we do not know if they watched it, watched part of it, or not. They were provided the equipment to watch it.
Well, it wasn't important enough to highlight anything in front of the jury during the trial. Why would it? I just don't understand this.
Why it was even admitted in
yeah.
The government's position was that Joseph Lewis's statements with regard to aiding and abetting the instant offense were important.
Oh, I agree.
And
in lieu
of having one issue was originally I was going to have the case agent who interviewed him testify that Lewis had said he aided and abetted. That became an issue pre-trial about the case agent making that statement. Because nobody really wanted to play the entire six-hour version, and excerpting parts we thought would lead to an issue with regard to completeness. Okay, we've played this, but we want to now play this. Furthermore, there were we were concerned about an issue of completeness, because if the government played certain excerpts, then the defense may want to play excerpts, and in the end, you may end up playing the whole six-hour. DVD. So with the issue that the case agent not being able to testify with regard to aiding and abetting, I wanted that statement in there that he had aided and abetted and not have to I couldn't get too far into it with the case agent. I mean, he did testify about aiding and abetting, but I couldn't get too far into it. And so I wanted the DVD there for them to review without having to try to excerpt that portion out and have to deal with how much the other counsel may have wanted to play or not wanted to play. And it was
well,
6 hours
long. I've never seen anything like this.
Who besides the jury, who saw the DVD?
Counsel was provided the DVD.
Did you see the whole thing?
Yes.
Did the judge see the whole thing?
I'm not sure if the judge saw it before or not. There was no, in this case, there were three defendants, of course. In this case, I don't think that this was the first of the three that was tried. I believe it maybe in the subsequent cases, she may have reviewed it in camera for some other purpose as to the other defendants. In this case, I don't believe that that happened.
So it was offered into evidence and received without the judge seeing the tape?
In its entire, I believe that is correct, Your Honor. Now, the statements with regard to Lewis's prior criminal history were on the DVD that was admitted.
Now, Lewis didn't testify, did he?
No, sir.
So, absent the defendant getting on the witness stand, the jury would not have any knowledge of his criminal record.
That is correct.
He testified obviously he would have answer questions about it.
That's correct.
The jury would have known, weighed his credibility against his record. But here, you've got the stuff on the DVD talking about I was in prison for this or I did that.
Yeah, it is there. It's without a doubt that it is unredacted and has statements with regard to his prior criminal history. The government still submits that that does not constitute reversible error. One, because at the time of the admission, the major focus of this whole the issue with the DVD was the fact that the he made a statement about aiding and abetting.
Right. But what? Because I can't believe anybody knew what was on that DVD, or that the defense lawyer would have known what was on that DVD if he would have let it go in evidence and let the jury watch it and hear this guy talking about prior convictions.
The defense counsel had the DVD in its entirety, and I think that since everyone's focus was so much on the aiding and abetting statement as it relates to the incident offense, I believe that the most likely thing was that we didn't put the amount of focus on what else was on there as it should have been. I think
was inadvertent. Was it the waste of time that you were concerned about in terms of playing the whole thing before the jury and with the judge?
I guess I was trying, I don't know if I would have called it a waste of time. I was trying to make it the most efficient and streamlined way
of
doing it.
The most efficient thing would have been playing the thing for the judge so they got a rule on it, and then we wouldn't be here. At least on that issue, we wouldn't.
In hindsight, I believe you're correct. But when you look at the totality of the other evidence against Joseph Lewis, it's the government's position that there was no plain error and that this is notwithstanding the statements about his prior criminal history, this was not a situation where, but for that error, he would have not been convicted. Despite what opposing counsel says about basically a mere presence argument, the fact of the matter is that this was a very circumstantial case, and there was evidence that pointed squarely to Joseph Lewis being in the bank. There was a surveillance picture taken of a very wide, large individual coming through the front door of the bank wearing a sweatshirt, a light-colored sweatshirt with a dark band right across it. A size 2XL sweatshirt was found in Kenyatta Lewis's house. That sweatshirt is consistent with the sweatshirt that with the size of Joseph Lewis, is the largest of the three individuals in the house, and it's also consistent with the sweatshirt seen coming through the door of the bank. Additionally, you have three distinctly sized male blacks. You have a tall and skinny, very tall and skinny, short and fat, and an average size. You have three distinctly sized male blacks that rob a bank in a predominantly white area of town, and then are found in a house less than 2 miles away from the bank a very short time later, and a house belonging to Joseph Lewis's cousin. The GPS in this case immediately began to track, tightened the loop around them, and put the bunny and the robbers in that house in a period of time where, if his version of events were to be believed, the robbers came in, knew where the upstairs attic access was, and the upstairs closet of a bedroom, knew the house well enough to know that, go up there, dump all of this stuff, get out, and leave in less than 5 minutes it took officers to get into the area. And it's the government's position that that is a set of circumstances that could not happen. And that the set of circumstances that we are presented with, while circumstantially, certainly point to Joseph Lewis being the large man that Linda Haverstock saw in the copy room, and the person of similar height wearing something soft that Josephina Beck testified. So this is not just a mere presence case. The jury had plenty other grounds on which they could decide the guilt of Joseph Lewis other than this statement about, I had a prior bank robbery. He was acquitted of the gun, and the government does believe that that certainly points to the fact that the jury did not buy the entire government's case hook, line, and sinker. If they had succumbed to this forbidden inference, it's the government's position that they would have succumbed to all of it, that, okay, he He robbed a bank and a gun. He's done this before. He's likely done it this time. That is not what happened. They, in fact, did split the baby. They did not find him guilty of the gun offense. And it's the government's position that notwithstanding the introduction of evidence with regard to his criminal history, there was sufficient other basis on which the court could find him guilty, and then thus there was no reversible error. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gulbrandson.
In our reply brief, we talk about the gun conviction, and the fact that he was acquitted of the gun, I think, suggests more than anything else that the jury didn't believe he was in the bank. And that argument is laid out in the reply brief, and I think that's the inference to draw from that. As far as the government's case, and I would ask the court to look at this record closely. The government's case is really, and I think counsel here laid this out, is that they found three guys in this house. One was, and Joseph Lewis was the biggest one, or the widest one. And the evidence about whether he fit the physical description comes down to this was the widest guy in that house at the time. I think the fact that there was a third of the money missing, and Lewis pointed to somebody else who wasn't there, and the acquittal on the gun charge suggest the jury, but for the DVD, believed that Lewis was not in the bank.
Our thanks to both counsel. And Mr. Gulbrandson, thank you for accepting the appointment and ably representing Mr. Lewis.